You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Good morning. How are you guys today? Good. Well, I'm thrilled to be with you today. My name is Whitney Scarborough, and I lead Woven Ministry. Our mission statement is to equip women to study the Bible and cultivate meaningful relationships. And occasionally, Chris will ask me to speak, and I'm really honored to get to launch this new series that we're going to be doing over the next couple weeks on Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Way of the Heart. Well, before we really dive in today, I want to tell you a little bit about who I am and give you a glimpse of my childhood. So take a look at the screen.
My parents, they also became Christian when I was born. And everybody's still Christian, but I got them when they were the most Christian. I had 80s and 90s Christian parents. Well, that's the most Christian you can ever get of the Christian. I think Jesus had more fun than I did. I was not allowed to watch anything. I mean, when they made The Simpsons, it was like, I guess they're just showing R-rated TV shows now.
Now, when I first saw this clip, I was actually with my brother. I have two younger brothers, and one of my brothers that I was with, we just lost it. We just died because we were like, that was us. Like, we were raised by the most Christian parents of the 80s and 90s, and my parents would attest to this too. Like, we've joked about this as a family. So I share this with you with no bitterness in my heart. My parents are wonderful people, and we have lots of open conversations about quirky things, about things that they did when we were growing up. But the reason why I share this with you is because I think it hits on something. I think it hits on something that maybe even makes us a little bit uncomfortable. And I think that the reality is that the world often says Christianity is kind of lame, right? To be a Christian isn't very fun. To be a Christian, you're going to have to follow a lot of rules and rigid requirements, and you're probably just going to have a boring life, right? These are things that the world says, and so I want us to address those things today. We're going to ask ourselves those questions, because if we are fully bought in, it's good for us to know what the world is saying, right? But it's also good for us to know what Scripture says, so we're not confused. We don't need to be confused on it. Now, the passage that we're going to study this morning is from Proverbs chapter 4. And Proverbs chapter 4, for me, when I was growing up, again, as a product of what we were just looking at, I remember hearing Proverbs chapter 4, guard your heart. And it was kind of in line with much of the purity movement, the true love waits, and a lot of what was kind of like the token passage, right? And again, I am grateful for my childhood. I want you to hear me say that. I do not have bitterness. But a lot of that passage, I only understood in the context of keep all the bad things out, right? And I think that as I've grown up in faith and as I've learned to study the Scripture more fully, I've come to a deeper understanding of what it means. And I'm really excited for us to study it today because I think that we're going to have a more broad understanding and a deeper scope of what it really looks like. Well, let's talk a little bit about the context of Proverbs. What is Proverbs? Proverbs is really kind of right in the middle of your Bible. It's Psalms and then Proverbs right after it. And Proverbs is attributed to King Solomon. King Solomon reigned from 971 BC to 931 BC. So the words that he writes are about 1,000 years before Christ. Now, King Solomon was the son of King David and Bathsheba, actually. And King David, who we may have heard of, was this larger-than-life figure, right? This man who killed Goliath with a slingshot, who wrestled a lion with his bare hands, who's described in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. So this man, Solomon, interestingly enough, is telling the words that he's speaking, he's telling them to his son. But he says in Proverbs, he says, much of what I am telling you, my dad told to me. My dad passed these things down to me, which is really cool for us to think about, right? We've heard of his dad before, right? Now, the focus of the book of Proverbs is wisdom. How to acquire wisdom? What is godly wisdom? And then Proverbs also talks a lot about the opposite of wisdom, which is considered folly or foolishness, and what that looks like. Now, today, my hope is that we see a couple of things. My hope is that we see that godly wisdom is essential. Godly wisdom is essential. And I think that we're going to see it not just here in the seven verses that we're going to be reading, but I think that, again, as we kind of broaden the conversation, it's something that all throughout Scripture, godly wisdom is essential. We were made to have it in our souls, to live by it. The second thing I hope we see today is that wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. Wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. Now, just as a little disclaimer, knowledge often in Proverbs is kind of used by Solomon as a almost like interchangeably with wisdom, okay? But when I say wisdom in the course of our conversation, what I mean is the word of wisdom being the experience, the knowledge of God that gives us and equips us to do the things we need to do. But when I talk about knowledge or information, I'm talking about merely having facts, okay? Merely having facts or learning information, but not necessarily knowing what to do with it, okay? So we're going to talk about that. And then the third thing I pray that we see today is that you and I have an active role to play in pursuing wisdom. Well, what does the Bible have to say about wisdom? Well, this is what we've learned from Solomon thus far in Proverbs. So if we were to read chapters 1-4 and kind of give a synopsis, then this is some of what would probably come to the surface. The fear of the Lord is essential for godly wisdom. The Lord is the source of true wisdom. Wisdom allows us to dwell or to live securely and to rest at peace. Solomon also writes that wisdom will heal our brokenness, it will refresh us deeply, and it will bring life to our bones. Solomon says that to gain wisdom is actually better than acquiring gold or silver or jewels, which is interesting because he had a lot of that. He was known for being one of the wealthiest kings that ever ruled. He also writes that to hold fast to wisdom is to be truly blessed. Godly wisdom is essential. Well, what else does the Bible have to say about wisdom? I love to look at not just a specific passage, but when we start to see some repeated patterns to go to the rest of Scripture and say, okay, well, what else does the Bible have to say about this topic of wisdom? Because I think it helps us to gain a more full and just a deeper understanding. In 1 Kings chapter 3, I would encourage you just to jot some of these down. Go back and look at them after this message. Read these for yourself. In 1 Kings chapter 3, God comes to Solomon in a dream. God comes to Solomon in a dream and he says, Solomon, what do you seek? What do you want? I will grant you what you want. Solomon basically says to God, my dad was a legend. He was a legend of a ruler. I am pretty much just a kid taking on this role. I don't really know what I'm doing. And I desperately need wisdom. I desperately need wisdom. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 3 that God abundantly gives Solomon wisdom in a way that was not seen before. James chapter 1, 5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. This tells us that God desires for his kids to have wisdom. James 3, verse 17 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, Paul writes that Christ is the wisdom of God. If we were to go further in our study of Proverbs, chapter 9, verses 10 through 11 say this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me, your days will be multiplied, and your years will be added to your life. Friends, godly wisdom is essential. So, would you go with me right now to Proverbs chapter 4? Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to be reading in verses 20 through 27, and I'm going to be reading from the ESV, and a little bit later we're going to read from a different version, but you can follow along on the screen, but we're going to start in verse 20 of chapter 4 of Proverbs. Solomon writes, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had a fairly open summer day. And I don't know if any of you in the room are in the season of life where you have children at home from school. I adore it, and I also constantly feel like my fridge and my pantry is empty. How many of you guys can attest to this, right? Like you can't keep food in the house. It's suddenly just vanished. Like I don't even know where it's going, right? You can judge whether this was like I was being lazy or whether this was like a parental stroke of genius. But I had gotten to this point where I was like, I have no more creativity in my bones to come up with another meal for dinner. And so I went to my kids, it was the morning, and I said, you know what, guys? Today, you guys are going to plan, prepare, shop for, and cook the entire dinner tonight. I don't care whether it's like gray slop mush. Like, I will eat whatever you make. I am excited about it. And my boys kind of looked at me like, kind of looked up at their sister, their 13-year-old sister, and she was kind of like, challenge accepted, you know? Like, it was kind of like, suddenly they were on like, she was like, we're on like a cooking show. She was so excited about it. So they took it very seriously. And, they used ChatGPT, they used Google, they used all these kinds of things to suddenly like craft this very creative meal. And I started to realize like, oh, they might be in over their heads a little bit. You know what I mean? Like they had planned like a 4-course dinner, you know? And again, I was excited and I was like, okay, tell me when you're ready to go to the store. You know, they planned, we go to the store, I get some things, but I'm kind of like, I'm gonna go sit in the car and I give them the money, I let them do the whole thing, you know? So you guys might've been in HEB that day and actually seen my kids running around, so I apologize. So they go, they get everything for the meal, they check out, and then they come home and they made the meal. So to clarify, they had planned a creative beverage, they had planned a full dinner, and then they had planned dessert too. Oh boy. Okay. So all in all, the whole process took about 7 hours. okay? And I will say, truly, like my husband and I ate everything, we were delighted. We were like, this is amazing. You guys were awesome. And they worked together. They did a great job. But that night at dinner together, when we were processing the whole experience, I looked at them and I said, okay, what are some things that you guys, you know, you learned here? And they started just to kind of share their thoughts. And what we took away as a family was that wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. You can have all the information that you need to make a meal, all the amounts, the quantities, right, the temperature, and yet somehow that knowledge doesn't always translate to what am I going to do when the onions start to burn, right? What am I going to do when I need four of these, but they only sell them in quantities of three, right? What am I going to do when the rice is a little bit crunchy, right? What do I do when this, I take a bite of it and it's too hot, too spicy to eat, right? These were all things they encountered. Wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. You and I are living in an information age. And in the world that you and I know, information is cheap and it is plentiful. Almost everything that I want to know is at my fingertips, right? But we are deceiving ourselves if we think that wisdom and knowledge are the same. I subscribe to a newsletter called The Culture Translator by Axis, and I highly recommend it. It's a great email resource that they send out, but they create helpful resources for parents to engage their children in the current culture from a Christian worldview. And recently, one of the writers made this important distinction. He said this: I worry that my children are growing up in a world where AI might offer them the illusion of wisdom without any of the substance, always ready to say what they want to hear, but never what they need to hear. Wisdom and knowledge are not the same. In fact, having more information often results in the opposite of wisdom. Take the news, for example. Over the past 50 years, there's been a trend that it used to be that you would walk to the end of your driveway, pull the paper, and you would read primarily stories about your local community. But now, we turn on the news or we read the news, and it is mostly about the biggest sensationalized event that's happening in the world at that time. So you and I have more information, but we have less that we are able to do about it, right? Sometimes having more information doesn't always yield instant wisdom. I don't know about you, but I often feel overwhelmed when I engage with the news because there's so much going on in the world that only our God can carry the weight of, right? I want us to look back at Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27 again, and this time I'm going to be reading from a different version. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, and sometimes this is just helpful to get a new perspective or just fresh insight. But this time I want you to engage with this passage, whether you're looking at it on your phone or whether you have it in your hands. I want you to actually highlight or underline any part of these verses that talk about your physical response, your body. How is your body called on, whether it's a mention of ears or mouth, heart, how is your body called on to actually respond in a pursuit of wisdom? So verse 20, again, this is the New International Version, so it might be different than the verse, the way it's worded in the screen. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Friends, we have an active role to play in acquiring wisdom. If we were to go back to the beginning of chapter 4, look with me in Proverbs 4, in verse 5. Notice what Solomon says. He says, get wisdom, get insight. He's telling his son and he's telling the listeners to pursue wisdom. Look at verse 7 with me of chapter 4. He says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. It's kind of funny, isn't it? He's saying, you have to go after this. Wisdom is not going to be something that just kind of plops down on you. That's not how this works. Notice that in the verses, in verses 20 through 27 that we just read, our very physical bodies are mentioned a minimum of 11 times, depending on which parts you underlined or your version. What this tells us is that we are encouraged to be on the offensive as well as the defensive. We are encouraged to move in a certain direction as well as to protect ourselves from outside influences. Look with me, verse 20. Let's look at this, guys. It's really practical here. And I don't mean easy. That's not what I'm saying. It's practical in that you and I are supposed to do something about it. We're not supposed to be passive in this. Verse 20, you and I need to listen to mentors in the faith who have spiritual insight. We need to absorb the words of scripture, to take it in, to hear it, to absorb it, to soak it in. In verses 20, 21 through 22, we need to hold that insight and we need to etch it on our hearts. That means we need to know it. We need to memorize it so that we don't forget the truth of godly wisdom, which brings life and healing. It's essential. Then in verse 23, this title of this sermon is guard your heart. He says we need to watch over what we let into our hearts because the rest of our life will flow out of that place. If we let cynicism, lies, gossip, negativity, if we let that continue to be what we draw from, what we pull into our hearts, it will flow out of us. We are not exempt from that. But sometimes, and this is what goes back to even what I talked about at the very beginning, sometimes we might think that, okay, you know what, I'm doing pretty good, right? I'm not really taking in too much sinful, bad stuff, so I'm okay, right? But the Bible tells us that our hearts are corrupt, they're deceitful, that sin has twisted our hearts in a way that we take even the good things sometimes, and they become not good because our hearts are bent in a selfish direction. Let me give you an example in my own life. How many of you guys remember the dawn of Pinterest? Okay, men, maybe I lost you in that moment. Maybe you like Pinterest. I don't know. I hope you do. But Pinterest, it came out, I don't even know how many years ago, but I remember when it first came out, right? And it's basically just this, like, you know, it's a little app, but it was started really as like an online board of all these ideas, right? Of things for your home, things for your easy DIY ideas, right? Creative things that you can do, everything like floral arrangements and, you know, like ideas to say, you know, have a wedding in like $5, you know, it was all these things that were beautiful pictures and meals that you could create, right? And I took a deep dive. I'm a visual person. I'm artsy. And I was like, this is amazing, right? Like, how could this be bad, right? I was taking in a lot of Pinterest, right? I don't think Pinterest in itself is bad, right? But what happened, what I started to realize is I'm like discontent with my life, right? Like, I don't like the way I look. I don't like anything in my closet. I'm annoyed with my husband constantly. Like, he's not the Pinterest husband, right? I'm annoyed with, you know, like the things that, it's like all the things that, I'm not going to have time to do 17 DIY projects this Saturday, so I failed, you know? My meal never looks like that. You know, my kids are the ones making the meals now. You know, things are rough, you know? So truly, it was like a wake-up call for me. So I'm not saying to you, like, delete Pinterest off your phones, but what it was a wake-up call. It made me realize we have to guard our hearts from from good things, just like from the things of the world, from sinful things. And be aware of the things that we're bringing into our hearts. In verse 24, we're told we need to get rid of crooked speech, devious talk, words that are deceptive, that twist the truth, that damage other people's reputations. Verse 25 challenges us to fix our eyes. I love that, to fix our eyes ahead of us on Christ. And then verses 26 through 27 pushes us to look ahead to where we are walking, to the steps we are taking every day, the direction that we're headed. Guys, I love that the Bible gives us a picture here of some very practical steps that you and I can take to pursue wisdom. We may say sometimes, and this is a legitimate thing, right? We may say sometimes, I feel so distant from God, right? Now, there are times and seasons, there are all kinds of reasons why we might feel distant from God. But I want to challenge us, because sometimes we feel distant from God and we are doing nothing of what verses 28 through 27 encourage us to do, to pursue godly wisdom, to pursue Him. Remember, it said that Paul says God, or that Christ was the embodiment of wisdom. Friends, let me give you an example. Imagine that I came to you and I said, I just feel like physically terrible. I can barely get out of bed in the morning. I can't even do any work. I really would just love it if you would bring me a meal, you know? And probably initially you'd be like, absolutely. Like, I would love to. Like, I'm happy to do that, you know. Tell me the time, you know, what do you need, you know? And then you start to find out that I'm eating nothing but fast food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm staying up till 3 a.m. every night, doom scrolling and like just on my phone constantly, right? I've picked up smoking, I'm drinking excessively, I am living sedentary, I'm not doing anything good for myself, right? If you are a good friend, I hope that you would say to me, hey, maybe there's some things that you should do differently in order to feel physically better, right? Guys, that's a silly, extreme example, right? But I think there's a parallel between that and our spiritual health, right? There are a lot of things that you and I in the Christian faith are called on to do in order to pursue a life of godly wisdom that are going to require us to be engaged in the process. Let's go back to the question I asked at the beginning of this message. Is Christianity just a religion of rules? Does it just kind of mean that you're going to live this lame life of following rigid rules and rigid legalistic requirements? Well, I discovered a quote a couple of years ago, and I think this is a beautiful and really powerful, helpful example. It's from a theologian named G.K. Chesterton, and I've read it a couple times in Woven. But I want to just share it with you. He says, the more I considered Christianity, the more I found that while it had established a rule and order, the chief aim of that order was to give room for the good things to run wild. Ooh, that's good. I host a podcast called Wits End, and I got to interview a friend recently, and she shares on the episode, it's actually an episode that's coming out this Wednesday, but she shares about her past and that her past involved a lot of heavy stuff, including abuse that led her down a road of choosing drugs and just all kinds of things, choices that she grieves. And she said this, and it really was so profound to me. She said, I think for people maybe who have walked in faith for a large part of their life, that it can look like people who don't have that get to kind of live free and clear without all of that stuff, without consequences, without all these rules that religion imposes. But I don't think that's what faith looks like. I feel like in these times, when it looked like I was living free, I was so afraid and it was so scary. Friends, there is an abundant life that you and I are called into. And I believe that there's an abundant life for us inside of the boundaries that God creates. We guard our hearts not because Christianity is a religion of rules, but because we were made and redeemed by a God who wants us to experience the fullest life possible in Him. The fullest life. And I pray that as we study Proverbs over the next couple of weeks, that you and I would see that godly wisdom is essential. It is good for us. It is needed for our souls. And wisdom is not going to win you every trivia night, but it is going to instruct you in all of those situations where you get to and you go, I have no idea what to do. I have no idea what to do. Guys, how many of you guys have experienced that in the past year? Be honest. I feel it all the time. Whether it is a situation with, right, a child that there's no handbook for, and you go, I have no idea what to do. Maybe a situation with a parent, you're watching them take on some really significant health challenges. I have no idea what to do, right? A situation at work, a conflict, a tension with a close friend. I have no idea what to do. Guys, in this and 1,000 other scenarios, God says, I have wisdom for you when you pursue me and you pursue wisdom. And that wisdom is going to equip you to live a full life and to help you know what to do when you get to those situations. I'm going to pray for us, and we're just going to ask, and I would just invite you to respond this morning, even with just your physical selves, right? Do what you're comfortable with, but sometimes for me, it just means like opening my hands like this because I can be so tight-fisted. Whatever it is that you are encountering that you go, God, I don't know what to do. I need your wisdom. Praise God that he says, I want to give it to you, right? I will give it to you when you ask me. I will give it to you without reproach. He's not shaming you that you're asking for wisdom. So would you pray with me? God, we praise you this morning. We worship you. God, we thank you that you are a God who you embody wisdom. You sent Jesus to embody wisdom for us, but then you still give us your Holy Spirit. God, that helps equip us, God. We're asking you to help us. God, I think the beginning of wisdom is us just going, God, I need you. I need help. Father, I lift up everybody in this room this morning, God. Would we invite you in? Would we see that godly wisdom is so essential, that it is not just something that we hopefully find, God, but that you've designed it for us to have healing in our souls. God, would we see that having knowledge and wisdom is not the same, God, but that would we take an active role in pursuing you, God. Wisdom isn't just something that's just like our right that we just have the second we come to know you, God, but it's something that you cultivate in us over the course of our lives as we walk in steady, faithful obedience to you, God. We ask for your help, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.